go through some practical things on your outline, things to remember in leading a child to Christ. The first one is memorizing Scripture. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the greatest message in the universe. There's nothing better. It is definitely the greatest message on earth. Nothing better. It is the most important message on earth. There are basically five or six verses that contain that message. Now, I know that you've memorized some scriptures along the way. I know you've learned some, whether you know it word for word, you have an understanding of them. The challenge I would give you, do you have the understanding of those five or six verses that will lead someone to know Jesus Christ, the greatest message in the world? And the challenge is that we would memorize those and learn those. And I personally believe if we're kind of living a, I'm getting by kind of a Christian life, that if you commit to memorizing those five or six verses, and you're ready when somebody knocks on your door and says, yeah, I know you know God. How do you get to know God? I believe that God will bring people after people after people wherever you're at because you're ready to give them His message. And all it takes is memorizing five or six verses. Key verses. The most important verses in the universe as far as a message goes. And so I challenge teachers and people in the body of Christ, memorize those scriptures. Know those scriptures. When God knows by His Spirit that He's got somebody that's got the message and it's clear, He's going to send those people that need to hear that message to that individual, and their life will become quite dynamic. Boredom will not be a word used. They'll be bumping up different scenarios, different situations in the market, you know, who knows where. Because you carry the most important message in the world. Number two, establish a key in your Bible. At the very least, in the front of your Bible, put salvation message and put the first verse for that salvation message. And we're going to cover some options of verses and things that you can use for different ways to communicate the most important message in the world. And then that one verse will lead you to, Romans 3. In Romans 3, you will write Romans 6 or whatever the next verse is that you're going to use. So you have a key in your Bible. So whenever anyone comes and you've got the Word of God in your hand or on the seat of your car or wherever it may be, you can go, oh, okay, yeah. And now I know where to go. And right there underneath that verse, it tells me the next one. But not only this, it says this. Oh, there's, and not only that, it says this. And they're going to start going, wow. What a command of the Word. Well, let me do the last one here. It says this. How important that message is and how simple it is that we can have an outline for it in our Bible. It's that simple. Number three, when you are teaching a child and you're giving them the opportunity to come to know the Lord, probably the most important thing you can do in the process is have your Bible open. Even a tract can confuse a child. Because the message is coming from this piece of paper. But what I would do with a child, the first thing I do is, you know what this is? This is God's Word. This is the Bible. This is what God has written to us that He wants us to know. And in there, it says this. So now the child knows that it has come from God's Word. They're clear. They're sure. It's not the person's opinion. It's what the Word of God says. And you just, when I say memorize it, I just mean know how to get it out to the people. Maybe you struggle with memorizing. The point is that the child needs to know where the message is coming from. And you can, by doing that key in the front of your Bible, you can read word for word for word. And that's as powerful as you saying it. Because if you say it sometimes without the Bible or anything around, They may think it's just something you thought up. Hey, let's follow them for a while or something. You know, they don't know where it may have come from. So it's really important to read from the Bible when you're giving this salvation message. Number four, share your faith with children. Be careful with your life facts. Teachers can make a really poor judgment call by sharing before they were a Christian their struggles. You know, I was into this and I did that. And the kids are like, oh. Because a child has struggles with timelines. So if my teacher used to do this kind of a thing, even though they don't do it anymore, they can go home and tell their parent, you know what my teacher does? Because they don't know timeline. You could say this was 5 years ago and God has got a hold of my life. That doesn't matter. And so be very careful. You can say to a child, I did bad things. I did things that God didn't want me to do. That's acceptable. They don't know what that means. They don't know the depth of that. You're saying I'm a sinner, and you're trying to tell them that the same thing is true of them. They're a sinner. But be very, very careful in explaining any details about your life and how, because sometimes people do this testimony thing about, man, I was just like down and out, and I was the worst thing that hit the world. And but Jesus came and came into my life. And you hear about a half hour of what they once were and about 2 minutes of what now they are. The greatest testimony is Jesus saved me. Man, I was once lost and now you know, I was blind and now I see. And start sharing what He does for us, what He's given to us, what He is there for. That's the great testimony about who He is, not what I once was, and for that matter, what I am. So be careful with that. Number five, be clear. And what this means is when you're giving the message, be simple. We try to really, you know, expand it somehow to be more relatable. Be clear and be simple. The message is the same, and it has been the same for 2,000 years. The only thing that gets in the way is when we try to soup it up and make it something more. There's nothing greater than the simplicity that Christ died and rose, had victory over death. He came to live. To save me. I mean, simple words that will penetrate the heart and change a life for all of eternity. So be simple. Don't try to be complex. I mean, you can just say the verses and no commentary whatsoever and be as powerful as any message you could give to anyone. You could just say, well, you know, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And they may want to interrupt. Let me finish. And you go through all five verses. You can talk now, you know, but this is what God says. Let God penetrate their hearts. Because the Word of God, and we are to be aware of Hebrews 4:12, is active and alive. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces the division between the soul and the spirit. When I was in school, they said there's no way to tell the difference between the soul and the spirit. The Word of God can. And we oftentimes take the Word of God like another book, like a textbook or something. This is alive. We're going to talk more in those three classes when we talk about curriculum and meeting with God and teaching kids to do that. But this is alive. You can read the newspaper and it's not going to do anything. Oh, yeah, well, it'll depress you. But besides depressing you, when you read the Bible, there's something that happens in our life. It's alive and it does something. It transforms and changes us somehow, some way. I don't know how to explain it, but it does. So it's important that we're clear and just simply let Him know what He has to say. Number six, use terms that they will understand. You don't get big and sophisticated with kids, or it'll just go right over their head. God's word is clear enough. for them, for a young child. 7, know what age group you're speaking with. That's important because that will help you in understanding what kind of verbiage and words you should use. The best way that you can know what kind of words to use with the kids that you're working with is listen to them. Just listen to them. Listen to how they communicate their thoughts. And you will have the best education on how to communicate to them. I watch it all the time. Adults first getting involved in children's ministry, they use words like, kids aren't even, they're just like, they're just kind of staring at them. You know, it's like they don't know what that means. You know, it's a whole different world with kids. It's a whole different world. Sunday I had somebody observing a class, and I had her in two different classes, younger age. It was a 2-3 year old age range, and I think I put her into a walkers, but she just wanted to see different things that were going on. And so while she was in the 2-year-old classroom, she was at the table and she was playing with a puzzle with a little girl, and I came in and said, you know, I want you to come over here to this classroom and check this out for a while. Well, she just gets up and comes with me, and I'm watching this little girl. I mean, that was her world. This is my puzzle partner, you know? And she's just like this, just kind of watching her go to the door. And I said to this person, I said, you need to let her know you're coming back, because she knew that she was coming back. And she goes, oh, I'll be right back. And so this little girl goes, okay. She was just fine at that point. And so we talked about this a little bit, and I said, you were her world. You were her everything. And you just walked out of it. And she didn't know. And we don't want to leave the impression to a little life that God's going to walk out on them. I've lived with that impression in my life, with my dad walking out on me. We don't want to give that any way, shape, or form in God's place. And so she was perfectly happy. She knew she'd be back. And about 10 minutes later, she came back. And I guess they started playing again and so forth. But it's so important to be inside their world. So use the words of their world, whatever that is. The simple words. 8, they need to understand. A, God loves kids. You will be absolutely amazed of any children not understanding that or even thinking that. When you say, you know, God loves you, just kind of look at you. No, he does. They need to understand that. B, they need to understand that I've done wrong, and this wrong called sin must be punished. I've done wrong, and this wrong is called sin, and I must be punished for that. C, this is where it gets good. Christ died to pay for my sin, that punishment. I mean, when they hear I've done wrong and that's sin and it needs to be punished, they're like going, oh man, I know I've done wrong, and oh, it's got to be punished and all. And then you go to the next one, but Christ died for that. He will take your punishment. And between the year 4 and 14, 85% of those kids have brains. They can critically think. They go, are you kidding me? I'm a sinner. I need to be punished. And God died for that punishment. And he's going to take my sin and my punishment. Where do I sign up? And that's how they're thinking. We're so used to the adult. Well, I don't know, man. I think evolution is really what's going on here. And I think the creation of God is like, it's just man. With a little child, you're just telling the message. They go, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we waste so much manpower, if you would, hours of talking to adults that are hardened and their hearts are hardened. Not that it's wrong, but why aren't we putting that kind of energy into those between 4 and 14 that will go, are you kidding? Yeah, right on. Give me Jesus. And many adults don't know how to deal with that. I have to deal with teachers and say, look, it's not when or if. It's how many and how often. Do not be surprised, because most kids are not going to, when they hear the gospel message, start weeping and go, oh, God, thank you for saving me. Because they haven't lived that kind of a life where they see what God has offered. They'll just go, yeah, for sure. And they are saved. And I've watched. You can see it in their eyes. You can see it in their life. We had a little five-year-old boy that was attending with his family. And he was what you would term fairly reasonably a monster kid. And his school verified it. He would always start the fights on the playground. I mean, he would duke it. He would knock kids out. He would do all kinds of stuff. Well, one day, he got in the middle of two kids fighting and was a peacemaker. He said, you can't be doing this. We need to honor one another. Five. And here's the kid the teacher don't know what to do with. Parents didn't know what to do with. Well, he gave his life to the Lord. And all of a sudden, there's this change. Five. Oh, come on. Can he really understand? Well, the teacher was wondering what happened. All right, what took place? So children are going to receive that. D, I must receive Jesus as my Savior, and then I receive God's forgiveness. Just very clear things that they need to understand. And E, when I do this, I become God's child. You're still your parents' child, but we're in the big, happy family of God. We're all in that family. I'm God's child. And being God's child, He's going to watch over me. He's going to care for me. They need to understand that. That's so simple and so clear that we try to build on it. We try to make it something more. The simple truth can transform 85% of the kids that you're around in that age range. Many years ago, one of the teachers, it wasn't at the church I'm presently at, was teaching first grade, and he came in and he said, hey, do we have any tracks here? And I said, yeah, over there on the counter. And so he went over and picked up a handful, and it was around seven or eight, kind of a handful. And it was just by the Lord, by the Spirit, I was kind of giving him a hard time. I go, what? Where's your faith? You're only going to have that many? Pick up some more. So he went out of the room with a double that amount. And in the beginning of class, he gave the gospel message. He said, does anybody want to give their life to the Lord? 14 little hands went up in the first grade. He had 14 tracks, by the way. It was pretty cool. He comes back in after class. He's on a cloud. He's going, I can't believe this. And for the rest of the class, what he did was disciple those 14 and the rest of the kids, what they did. So they talked about it. They talked about God's forgiveness. They talked about us being sinners. They talked about God watching over us. They talked about, this is a powerful scripture that children need to know, that God has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Because people are leaving their lives right and left. They're forsaking their lives right and left. And they need to hold on to God's word. And so it's cool. It's not when, or it's just how many are going to respond to the Lord. It's important that we understand that number nine, God desires that none would perish. 2 Peter 3:19. He desires that none would perish. That is His will for all of mankind. When you are praying for unsaved people, know this, you're praying according to God's will. And if you're praying according to God's will, He says you have it. Sometimes it takes a long, long time. I prayed for my dad, my sisters and I prayed for my dad for I don't know how many years, 20 plus. Pretty much on his deathbed, he gave his life to the Lord, about 2 weeks before he did go to the Lord. And there was an absolute change. We absolutely saw the change in his life. Satan was lying to him about something, and he came to realize that it was a lie. And he freely received his forgiveness. God desires that all would receive His forgiveness. Number 10, free gift. Not sure how free it is because there was a price paid, but the gift is from Jesus, and it's based on what He did. And all we do is receive what He did, accept what He did. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." That's what we get. I have a personal philosophy since I've been on earth for a while, watching people come and go, that this thing called life is doing one thing as a whole. Because when we get to eternity, whether it's with Him or without Him, we're going to look back on life and we're going to think it was faster than this. Because eternity is timeless. And we're going to look at life and we're going to go, wow. And you know what we're going to realize then, if we don't realize it now? It was a place where God allowed us to choose where we would spend all of eternity. That's it. Why are we existing? Why are we here? That's simple. We are going to choose to live with Christ for the rest of eternity or not. And He's prepared a place for those who don't want to have fellowship with Him. That's it. Life's not complicated. You want to know how to understand the entire Bible? You don't even need to, just cancel college. I'll tell you and you'll be done. He tells us that we're to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's it. Come back. And the rest of the Word teaches us how and shows us what it looks like. That's it. Life's not hard. It's pretty simple. You will make a choice. You are making a choice where you will be for all of eternity. You know what the everybody in the world, everybody that's alive, whether they know Jesus Christ, care about or love Him or what, they know this. Death is wrong. We all know it. We all know death is wrong. You know why? Because we've been told that eternity has been written in our heart. And every time death comes in, we go, this is wrong. You know? You feel that. When you think about, you don't have to think about, I think about, death's getting closer for me than it is for you right now, but you'll start thinking about it a little bit more. And we never know, because God's got our number, and He knows when He's done with us, and I'm ready to go whenever He is done with us. But it's like living with Him or not living with Him. That's the choice we're making. Right now. That's it. All of eternity. Eternity has been written in our hearts. We know we are not supposed to die. And we don't. Because it happens like that. So I get in the car and boom. Man, I'm with the Lord. I'm living on. Or the place has been prepared for those that don't want to be with Him. And I can't comprehend that. I try to get my mind around living with Him, but I cannot get my mind around not living with Him. And that's what life is. Everything that I judge in life is based on that. Decisions are made based on that. I'm here for that purpose. I'm going to do His stuff, plain and simple. 11, vessels of God. A teacher is a vessel of God. They aren't a professional. They aren't, I've got all this experience in the world. I have people come into my office. Oh, man, I've got all this experience. You will be blessed by me being a part of your children's ministry. They don't realize they just said the wrong words. They will never be a part of that children's ministry. I want people that know that they're sinners and know how to repent and love the Lord and want God to use them to touch a life. That's qualification. That's it. God will do the work. It's God who's working in our lives. It's pride that keeps that from happening. He resists the proud, James tells us, but he gives grace to the humble. Wow. Humble says, I know who I am because you revealed it. And you're the best and I'm not. You know, it's that simple in life. It's that simple. 12. Don't scare the kids. Don't scare the child. Don't ask those questions when you're doing the salvation message, you know, like, well, what would happen if you were driving home from church tonight and your family got in a car wreck and everybody died? Oh, come on. How does that show the love of the Lord? Give me a break. This is a wonderful message. And now we're talking about death. It's like fear is causing them to be motivated. Don't scare the kids. 13. The decision is between them and God. What do I mean by that? That's very important to understand. I'll use a kindergarten class, five-year-olds. They love their teacher. Their teacher is the best ever. That's what a five-year-old does. And if my teacher thinks I should give my life to the Lord, man, I will do it. Well, did they? Or did they do something for the teacher? We have to be very careful that we're neutral and that the child understands that this decision is between them and God. This is what God says. I'm going to tell you what God says. And this is what He wants you to do. But it's a decision that you make towards Him. You know, if the teacher looks all, oh yeah, I would really love it if you would give your life to the Lord. The whole class would give their life to the Lord. Because they want to please the teacher. Now, that's not the case in a fifth grade class or a sixth grade class. But it is definitely with a five-year-old. And in those age ranges, you have to be very, very careful and stress the fact that this is something that they have to decide with the Lord's help. 14 kind of falls on that. Don't try to convince them. I mean, you'd be an absolute idiot for not giving your life to the Lord. Oh, okay. I'll do it. Don't try to convince them, because if you convince them in, somebody will convince them out. It's not a real commitment that's made from their heart. You can have the assurance because the statistics show us that those children will give their life to the Lord. You don't have to force, pressure, or anything. You just have to disciple. I mean, I've had teachers tell me they weren't even planning that week to give an opportunity for them to come to the Lord, and they've had little kids walk up to them and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. It's like, where did that come from? But somewhere along the line, in weeks past, there was information that was delivered that was working in that little heart, and something keyed it, and maybe all week they were waiting to do it. You don't know. You never have to force it, because it's the most natural thing. We get in the way of kids coming to know the Lord. If we get out of the way and just give them the message, they'll come. We just need to get out of the way. Give a clear message. Not try to convince them. And the Lord, by His Spirit, will work in their heart. And it will be just an incredible work. When they receive the Lord, number 15, you need to pray with them. It is good to review your prayer. And I've got a little sample of a couple prayers in your notes somewhere, because sometimes it's kind of funny. You get the message down, but you don't really feel comfortable with how you would pray with a child. And so three or four or five kids say, yeah, I want to give my life to the Lord. And teachers have come to me often and said, oh, I didn't know what to do at that point. You know, it's like, pray with them. Yeah, I know, but what? You know? And so you just pray back what they just did. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died for my sin. And I thank you for that. And and you just go back to simply what you just got done talking about. And what that does is that reassures you and them what they did. That explains to them what they did. And over the weeks, it's important to be explaining these different things to them. So that's a part of the 16, the reviewing of the message and what just happened. Make sure they understand what took place. That's 17. It's important, I think, somehow, some way, and it depends on the age and stuff. When the kid's a little bit older and they have a Bible and stuff, say, why don't you write it in front of your Bible? Put this date. Tell them what the date is. Put this class and put, I started walking with Jesus. I can go back. I had somebody tell me that when I was 17. They said, man, remember this day because Satan's going to challenge you. And he did. And I went back, and I still can go back to that August day many, many, many years ago, sitting on that haystack and crying, probably for the first time in a whole long time, except for after getting beat up or something. I mean, it was awesome. I totally knew my daughter. She was 3 and a half when she gave her life to the Lord in Israel. I was on staff at that time at Costa Mesa, and she came to my wife and said, I want to give my life to the Lord. And but it was like not with us. We finally got it out, and it was with the Lord, I mean with Chuck. And so I go, oh, okay. Well, I knew we were going to Israel, and we could have gone into his office, but I thought it'd be cool in Israel. And so I talked to him about it, and he just loves children, and it was way cool. So we were up on the Jerusalem wall. It was our day off for the whole trip, and I was sent to go do something with a group of people, and I got done with that, and I came back, and it was just God's timing, because my family and Chuck, that's all that was there at that moment. And within like 3 minutes, the rest of the big group would be there. And I said, you know, Chuck, can we do this now? And he got down on his knee, and he led her to the Lord, and we got pictures of it. So she always looks at her picture. I'll see her staring sometimes at her picture when she knew she had given her life to the Lord. It was absolute. She will never forget that. And it's important for kids to know that, to understand that. All right. 18, explain what they need to do next. They need to pray. They need to talk with God. And I use the terms with children, talk with God more than prayer. Because prayer is just a word out there and it can mean all kinds of things to all kinds of people. But talking to God means one specific thing. B, read the Bible and respond to what God said. Read the Bible and respond to what God has said. And we will get involved with this kind of stuff in a number of the classes. The other one is to go to church. If they're young, they're dependent on their parents. But if it's at church this is happening, then they're there. But encourage them to go to church and encourage them to share, D, about Jesus with someone. It's really important when a child is given their life to the Lord to challenge them to publicly tell someone. Really, really important. Be a mom, be a dad, be a brother, be a sister, be a friend. Because there's something about solidifying it when we say, you know, I gave my life to the Lord. I remember when I gave my life to the Lord that weekend, I drove back and I went to my best friend's house. It was late Sunday night. I knocked on the door. I'd never gone over there on a late Sunday night. And I said, Jim, I got some incredible news. Jesus loves you. And I just gave my life to the Lord. He's like, what? You know, what is this? And he said something to me that scared me silly. He points his finger at me. He says, I'm going to watch you. I mean, this is all fresh. This is all new. It's like, what is this guy saying? And I left there just going, oh. But I did that. I expressed that happened. And it changed my life. And I think it's scriptural. Scripturally sound that we share with someone. And so you try to encourage the kids to do that. And then discipling begins after they receive the Lord, but actually discipling is taking place up through that time. And oftentimes as we disciple, it happens. They start learning what it is and what it's about. And then we continue in that discipling process. And that's a part of the age-appropriate thing. you say a 5 or 6, 7 year old can't understand. Well, they understand as much as they can right now, and it's the message, and it's clear for even a young child. But we want to disciple them more and more as they get older and older and older to be able to walk with the Lord. Now, we don't have a lot of time, but I want to go over some things, how to lead a child to Christ. Message of, it's called the Wordless Book, but there's many ways that it's done. I have what is before you, a wordless bag. And this message is done by color, and it works very well on the mission field. It can be a little booklet. How many of you have seen and used the wordless book kind of a thing? Okay. So what it is you would start off the presentation, and on your pager you see some information about it, and you can do different things. Hello, I'd like to tell you a wonderful story. It's my most favorite story in the world. You better know what the story is if you say it's the most favorite story in the world. But anyway, you can oh, I just dropped out. You can start it any way you want to enter into it. But gold or yellow stands for heaven, kids. And you know what's in heaven? God's in heaven. Oh, how wonderful. And you've got all the information there. It talks about God is creator. God loves us. God is holy. God lives in heaven. All right? Length sentence is important to move on to the next step. But there's one thing that can never enter heaven, because it would spoil it. Well, what's that? It's sin. Sin, yeah. So we go to the sin. So we take the bag and we pull out the sin part of it. And we use the term, what do you have there on your heading under the dark page? Does it say charcoal? We're starting to use the word charcoal because the political correct arena has swiped the word white and black. And sometimes that can be offensive. But I tell my teachers, whenever we're talking about the dark, which represents the sin, what we're talking about is like a dark closet. Or I would show a Bible with a black cover. It's dark. And it represents, have you ever been in a closet or squeezed underneath your bed and you can't see anything and it's dark? Well, that's what sin represents, you know. And so you make sure that you stay politically correct and you talk through the definition of sin, the example of sin, all of sin, sinful nature, punishment for sin. But the linked sentence, God has made a way for you that you don't have to be punished for your sin. Oh, awesome. And that is the red part of the story. And so we bring the red out. All right, what's the red stand for? Class, and then we talk through it, the key part of that. And God's Son was born, took the punishment that you and I deserve, gave His blood, died and came back to life, lives in heaven with the Father. So the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. All right, you go in, link sentence. Because of what Jesus, God the Son, has done, you and I can have our sins forgiven. Okay, well, we got to go. What page is that? Okay. Is that right? How do we do this? Get it out here. All right. We got the white, like snow. Have you ever been in the snow? And then you go through how to receive God's gift of salvation. Would you like to receive Him right now? Thought-provoking questions, the conclusion, and so forth. The link sentence in there is, once you become God's child, He wants to get to know, He wants you to get to know Him better. And so, I don't know if I got this right. Yeah, there we go. So, the green stands for growing. Because when it's green and it's grass, it's growing, or whatever you want to say. And you go through the gospel message. You can use this on a mission trip because you can stick it in your back pocket and it's not heavy and it gives you a gospel message, and you go through confessing of sins, growing in Christ, read the Bible every day, talk to God, read a few verses from the Bible every day and respond to God, and it goes through everything, tell others about Jesus, go to church, and so forth. And you've just given the gospel message that a child can understand anywhere, at any time. Now, I have learned by using this, I don't use it, matter of fact. It would be something I would use on a mission field or something like that. The reason I don't use it, because half, I think, the message isn't being heard, because they're trying to figure out, how is that working? And they're just looking at that, and they're going, I don't get it. So you can still use it, but what you want to do is then go back through and make sure that it's understood, you know. But there's all kinds of ways that you can do that. The greatest message in the world, the absolute greatest message in the world, doesn't take that much energy, doesn't take that much time, and yet so often we don't devote the energy and time to that greatest message in the world. And the challenge for you is that, is to devote that time to the greatest message in the world. The other challenge to you is, if you ever are with children, if you're ever working with children, never, never overlook the opportunity to allow them to come to know Jesus Christ. And it's not a matter of how many can I have come to know Jesus Christ. It's a matter of discipling them and what it is, and then leaving it up to them, but giving them an opportunity. It's like, don't force it. Go, you know, tell them this great story. It's like the truth. It's like what happened. Man, what do you think? That's what you would ask him. You aren't forcing him into anything. What would you think? What do you think about that? Man, it's cool. It's great. Wow. They may not know what to do from that point. Would you like to have Jesus be a part of your life? Would you like him to never, he's promised never to leave those who love him or forsake them. Would you like that? Yeah, that's cool. I'd like that. Well, all we got to do is pray. You want to pray? Well, I don't know how to pray. Oh, I can help you with that. Let's pray. I'll say a few words, and then you just repeat those words. And I'll say a few more, and you repeat those words. You know, we overlook the greatest evangelistic group of people in the world to be evangelized. They're right everywhere. Everywhere you go. You go in a park, you see more of those things than you do of the big ones. You know? They're people. They're people. And they need Jesus. And this is a time when they need to receive Jesus. And my prayer for you is that God would use you to allow children to come to know Jesus. Whether you're ever in the children's ministry or not. That when you're going out witnessing with all your buddies and friends, and they're all hanging with the my age, I want to get one my age, you know. Say, hey, excuse me for a second. Go where you see a group of fifth and sixth graders hanging out and say, hey, I want to tell you something. And you're going to see fruit like you've never believed before. You walk up to me and go, you know what? Death is a long time. You know, when you die, you're going to be dead a long time. You know what's going to happen in that time? Well, what is this? You know? But you find an opening sentence for that kind of a thing. Hey, guys, do you know what life's about? Say, what? Who knows what life's about? Yeah, and they'll give you some funny answer and sad answer and so forth. Say, you know what? I know a better what life's about answer. Want to hear it? And most kids are hanging. Hey, sure. What do you got to say? Humorous. But it's the Word of God that gets to go out in humor. And it's active. And it's going to do something. Now, I would not recommend you going up to a 5-year-old, 6-year-old. Parents are, no, probably not a good idea. But a bunch of kids on a bike, kids that are on their own, they're doing their own thing. Yes. Yes. Well, let's close in prayer and call this a class and look towards next week. And Father, we do thank you that your message is simple and clear. And Lord, I thank you for that message. I have participated in that clear message, that simple message, and how you've changed my life, Lord. I pray that you would use everyone in this room as your vessel to change other lives with your clear and simple message, with the greatest message in the world. May we not hide it, Lord, but may we be excited to go around and share the cure for sin, the cure for separation from you. Use these people, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.